Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Super Podcast. I am the terrible Australian Bede. I hope you're all doing very well today. And with me, of course, is my trusty co-host, the one, the only, Super Marcy. Hello, Marcy. How are you?
Hello.
It's nice to see you again, Marcy. It's been like over a billion years since we last recorded an episode.
I know. It's been chaotic and hectic and all sorts of rubbish that has just been in the way of actually recording, but we are back with a vengeance or something. We're like Bruce Willis in the third movie playing John McClane.
Exactly. You're Bruce Willis at this episode, and I'll be Samuel L. Jackson. Because, you know, that's just how I roll.
Yeah, apparently. I look totally like Bruce Willis as well.
And I totally look like Samuel L. Jackson in real life.
Oh, yeah, you definitely look like a bad motherfucker.
Indeed, I am a bad motherfucker. But that's for other reasons.
Indeed. And we're not alone for our triumphant return to the podcasting universe. We have a guest with us.
Yes, indeed. We have a returning guest who hasn't been on the show for quite a while, and the last time he was on was when we did our very special another edition of our awesome bad movie episodes.
That was when we talked about The Wizard, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Was that Hard Rock Zombies as well? Was that a different one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
And what was also interesting since that episode, Marcy, is we also talked about, like, The Expendables being PG-13, and now since then it's gone back to being R-rated, so, yeah.
Yeah, and it was all because of me, because I forced their hand.
I like to think it was me, but...
You know, I rang up, like, Stallone, and I was like, yeah, rah, rah, and he was like, yeah. But anyway, Stallone isn't our guest.
Yes, of course, and our guest is, I bet he also contributed to that as well, and that is Sean Clancy, or as we like to call him, Clancy. How you going, Clancy?
Good, how are you?
That was an epic Stallone.
That was pretty good. I'm just going to see the rest of the podcast is late.
Oh my goodness.
I am the law.
With my epic codpiece, apparently, that they had in that movie.
Indeed.
It's not a super podcast without mentioning Stallone and Judge Dredd and codpieces.
Indeed, I'm actually wearing that codpiece right now, Marcy.
I don't need that visual in my mind.
I actually made a hat out of it and I'm wearing it.
Oh, very sexy.
What's up?
It's like a fez. I'm trying not to picture that visual, but I can't. I am. I might not be able to function at all for the
Once
next week.
Once you see it, you can't unsee it.
That's true. Yes, welcome back to the Super Podcast. It's a change of pace for Clancy and I because we're not talking about games and LJN being complete shit. So
wait, we're not doing that this podcast?
No, but we can call LJN shit because it's true.
I was kidding.
Yeah, no, now, come on, Marcy. How could you ever hate the cliffhanger video game where it's just basically Stallone's character just climbing up rocks for most of the game?
It's the shittiest of the shit that should be flushed down toilets. Ugh. Or just left in the sewage of prisoners' shit in a prison. Sorry, I was just thinking about Undisputed 2 and 3 for a moment.
Into the toilet.
You have to watch those movies because they're awesome.
I will.
Yeah, both of you, that goes for. Anyway, We are going to kick off the show by asking Bede why he's a terrible Australian, and apparently it's not because he's wearing a codpiece.
Although it should be one of the many reasons, but, you know, that's a whole different story altogether. But
not for this particular episode, anyway.
Well, that's true, yeah. But
I hope there's a reason why you're really terrible, because you need to shock us into, like, paralysis.
All right. I'm a terrible Australian because I have seen the 2001 remake of Rollerball starring Chris Clyde. That's how terrible I am.
Yeah, I unfortunately have seen that piece of shit too. I feel pretty terrible.
Mm. Well, I have to admit, Marcia, I didn't like the original film, to be honest, that it's a remake of. But even I'm thinking of watching this thinking, yeah, this is not a good remake of it either.
Oh, it's bad. It's so bad.
It's very poorly put together, Marcy. Oh, from both an acting standpoint and a filmmaking standpoint.
From every single standpoint, it's a piece of turd. Have you seen it, Clancy?
No, I have not, and thank God.
Yeah, never see this movie.
And it's a big trade-off. You go from James Caan to Chris Klein.
Yeah, just like, you know, Chris Klein in...
It's Street Fighter.
Street Fighter. Yeah.
Although he's also been in that movie for all the good wrong reasons.
Yeah, and I mean, John McTiernan, who didn't he go to jail recently or some shit?
I think he went to jail after making this movie.
Yeah, how does someone go from movies like Predator, Die Hard, Hunt for Red October, Last Action Hero, which is awesome, but some people don't like because they're stupid, Die Hard with a Vengeance, which we mentioned earlier, and to, like, Rollerball. It makes no sense.
It was like a doubleheader because he also did the remake of the Thomas Crown Affair. That was actually a pretty good remake.
Yeah, I actually didn't mind that movie at all. It was pretty good.
Yeah, and then I thought, oh, well, I'll bring that same magic to another remake, but it ended up just being
a piece of fucking shit that is the stinkiest of the stink.
It should have been retitled Rollerblah.
Yeah. Hey, I didn't know that Andrew Brynarski was in it.
Brynarski?
Yeah, you know. Change the channel.
Oh,
and also Leatherface in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake.
Well, eventually he would star in at least a good remake later on.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the cast. You had Chris Klein, John Renault, LL Cool J, Rebecca Romijn, and then I just see Andrew Brynarski.
Brynarski.
I can't say his name. To me, he's always just changed the channel.
Or as I like to remember him from Batman Returns, where he played Christopher Walken's son. And he had a really bad Christopher Walken impression. Not the father.
Oh, that... Because you mentioned Christopher Walken, can Clancy please do his impression?
What are you talking about? Why you're always pressuring me to do these things, and I can't do it.
I can't even breathe.
I don't know how anyone could go through life without trying to do a Christopher Walken impression. I think if everyone on the planet did it, I'd just talk to Christopher Walken. It'd be a much better place.
Yeah, my Christopher Walken is in the shape of reenacting the Fatboy Slim music video.
That is the greatest music video ever made.
I agree. Yeah. I'm gonna put that song on, do the dance moves, and I'm gonna put it on YouTube, and it'll be just no contest. Everyone will look at it and be so impressed.
Indeed. Because it needs more cowbell.
Wow, I think in the future we need to do a Christopher Walken podcast.
Appreciation podcast. And we could just do it out. And we could just talk like him throughout the whole episode.
Yeah, I think so.
But anyways.
Major annoying.
He'd be amazed.
He would, like, personally, like, give us money for having done it.
Indeed.
Or, like, cook a turkey or something.
Or more cowbell. But that's a whole different story.
But was anyway. It that he cooks a turkey on YouTube or something?
He no, could read
a chicken.
He could read us the Three Little Pigs. And he huffed, and he puffed, and he blew the house down. Or even like singers, Poker Face.
Mama, Poker Face. I can't do an impression, so that's why I leave it to the professionals.
But you can look for those videos on YouTube, but you know, that's a whole different story.
Anyway. Everything's a whole different story.
Yeah, because we have to move on to our...
Yeah, sorry. I tell Bede constantly, hurry the fuck up, and then, yeah, we still get sidetracked. Yes. Now that somehow talking about Rollerball led us to Christopher Walken, we are just going to dive into some what we have watched recently. And then we've got a really awesome, like, subject to talk about for our second half, which I'm very excited about. And I think we talked about doing this, like, sometime, like, mid last year or something.
Yeah.
And we're finally doing it. We're doing it, yeah. Sexual innuendos, ahoy.
I'm doing it now.
Yeah, so we'll just go over some of the movies that we've seen recently. I think we'll maybe just do like our usual round table and we'll go over a few times. So we'll start with Bede, who can tell us a few, and then we'll get back to him later on the rest that he wants to talk about. So,
cool.
Yeah, lay it on us. I should stop talking because everything I say sounds disgusting.
But, all right, well, I'll take over. Well, I've been watching a lot of movies lately, Marcy's, and for a good change, a lot of good movies.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. I don't believe it.
Indeed, you should believe it. But one of the main movies I want to talk about is a movie I've been wanting to watch for a long, 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 long time.
Mm.
And I only just finally got to watch it a few weeks ago, and that is Dead Man Walking.
Oh.
Starring Susan Sarandon and Sean Penn.
I saw that like when it came out, and I haven't seen it for a long time, but at the time I thought it was a really fantastic film that just really kind of sucks your soul dry.
It does. It's an incredibly powerful film, very emotional, and it's very low-key as well, so it's not like... because it's directed by Tim Robbins, and he doesn't like it. Could have easily have been, you know, very sentimental and all that type of stuff, but it plays it really low key, and it just works really effectively, and the performances in the film from everybody are amazing, and like Susan Sarandon very much well deserved her Best Actress Oscar. And yep. Sean Penn is like amazing as well.
This I think would have it's to one of the his, best things he's done.
Yeah, one of the best performances of his career.
It's very un Sean Penn.
Oh yeah, like he disappears into the character. Like he plays his character who has done these really terrible things, but at the same time we're very empathetic towards him as an audience. And yeah, it's extraordinary. And there's a really good supporting cast. It has, like, Ali Erby, Raymond J. Barry, Robert Prosky, Scott Wilson. And even in small roles, future stars Jack Black and Peter Sarsgaard.
And I think it had a score by Eddie Vedder.
Yeah, well, Eddie Vedder sings a song on the soundtrack, and so does Bruce Springsteen and a few others. As well.
I distinctly remember, like, that.
Yeah.
I think he wrote one song, performed two. So he did of the stuff on that. I think, yeah. I'm getting my, like, movies mixed up, but yeah, he did a few songs for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Well, it's a good soundtrack.
Yeah.
And it's a terrific film. Definitely one of the best from its year, if not the best. And if you haven't seen Dead Man Walking, it's definitely a film worth checking out. It's interesting, though, because a lot of people consider this film to be a very anti-death penalty movie.
Mm.
But I don't really kind of see that. Like, I think it's a very even-handed film. It kind of looks at both sides at the debate, why some people are for it and why some people are against it. But I think it really comes down to the character of Sean Penn's character. And I think that's where it'll just come down to, like, with his character, whether you side which side of the issue you be with. But personally, I think it's a very even-handed film, and it does it in a very beautifully delicate and way. And it is a great film, and it's definitely I was just absolutely impressed, and I can definitely say it was worth the wait finally checking it out, Marcy. Mm-hmm. I should have seen it, like, years ago.
Yeah, but at least you got to it, I suppose.
Yeah. It's a great film, and like I said, if you haven't seen it, definitely worth checking. It's worth checking out.
And what else is there that you want to bring up now?
Another film I did see this film when I was younger, but at the time, like, I remembered some things about it and forgot some things about it, but I sort of decided to rewatch it again. Well, I sort of counted it as a rewatch because at the time I don't think I was quite prepared for what type of film it was. And that film is Contact.
Yes.
Starring Jodie Foster, Matthew McConaughey, James Woods, Angela Bassett. It has a huge cast.
I remember that, like, back when it was coming out, like, it had this, like, a really mysterious trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I remember. I mean, I've seen the movie and I did like it, like, back then.
Yeah.
Definitely was into the whole, like, alien thing back then.
Yeah, well, I think it's more than just, like, a contacting aliens
type movie. Oh, no, it was definitely, like, a human drama as well.
Yeah, it sort of, like, talks about, like, science and religion and all that and whether or not they can kind of coexist or not. Because you got, like, you know, Jodie Foster's character who represents science, and you got Matthew McConaughey's character who represents religion and all that. And I think that was kind of the aspect that really drew me into the film was, like, their relationship with each other and also those themes that are sprinkled throughout the film, because I think it kind of makes the film much more than just a science fiction film.
I think it kind of has been more realised for that more recently, because I think it was very weirdly received when it first came out.
Yeah, I think some people kind of, like, it did all right when it came, box office-wise, when it came out, but I think some people were kind of, this was, like, you know, post-Independence Day and all that, and I think some people were expecting another, like, full-on alien movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, I would consider this more in the vein of something like Close Encounters of the Third Kind or 2001.
Mm.
Maybe not as, not to say that the film exactly like those, but it seems that it's more...
Sort of sci-fi kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a film with ideas and themes and all that. I think that we could all relate to in some way as human beings.
Yeah. Although, whenever I think about this movie, I go back to, like, there was, a quip in it in one of the early South Park episodes.
Yeah, and I think, looking back on that now, I'm thinking maybe some people just probably didn't get it, I suppose.
I think that kind of showed that, yeah, people were after something that it wasn't, which happens.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I think the joke that they made, not to spoil the movie, but the joke that they make about the movie, I think clearly that they just didn't understand the whole point of
one person. I don't think it was that. I think they were making fun of the people that didn't get it.
Probably, yeah.
Because that's what they tend to do a lot of the time.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it for so long, so I can't really add too much to...
Yeah, and it's cool. What's interesting is that it's directed by Robert Zemeckis, who we all know and love.
Who, of course, is fucking awesome, because...
Yeah.
He gave us Back to the Fucking Future, bitches.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to say, like, my favorite, you know, Zemeckis films are definitely, without a doubt, you know, Back to the Future and Forrest Gump. But I think Contact, if you had to say which is his definitive best film, like his masterpiece, I would definitely say Contact.
I would say that Jim Carrey movie that sucked ass. Oh, wait, that was a joke. do you have anything else to throw at us right now, or are you going to hold off some for the next
one? I'll hold out.
All right. Clancy, Fancy Clancy, what have you watched recently that you want to talk about right now?
A movie that I just watched last night, actually, that I was a little bit behind on seeing. And I don't know if you guys have seen it, but I got enveloped into the latest Pirates of the Caribbean movie because it was on cable, on Stranger Tides. So I watched that, but also because I've been playing Lego Pirates of the Caribbean at my 360. So
Lego games are the fucking shit. I love them.
They are, yes.
My favorite is Batman, by the way.
Yeah, that's probably one of the better ones.
It's a cute... Anyway, I'll shut up. Sorry. You talk. I want to hear you talk.
Oh, okay.
I want to hear you talk.
but every time I catch the movie, because I've tried watching it twice, and both times I've caught it like right when Jack Sparrow is trying to get off of Blackbeard's ship, when we're finally introduced to Blackbeard. And I actually found the movie to be not that bad. It was a shit ton better than that garbage that was the third movie.
That's what I hear a lot of people say, was that they thought it was better than the third one.
Yeah, the third one was just utter shit. But no, this last one has Ian McShane in it, and Ian McShane is forever going to be Al Swearengen from Deadwood.
I haven't even seen it, and that's what I always think of him as.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Probably the greatest character on TV. And when you, obviously you'd have to watch Deadwood to kind of get the character.
Yeah.
And when you watch Pirates of the Caribbean and you see Ian McShane playing Blackbeard, which he does a fucking awesome job, it's very Al Swearengen like. Like, he is just ruthless. He doesn't give a shit. And kind of the way he presents himself and like his mannerisms, the way he talks, is very much like his character from Deadwood. And I wish that there was more with Blackbeard.
Yeah.
Or basically just more of Ian McShane because he's
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that I had a pretty decent time with it, you know, even though they didn't have Keira Knightley and what's his nuts?
Orlando Bloom.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah, that little, the bitch boy from Troy.
The bitch boy from Troy. That rhymes, I love it.
It does.
You know what? I don't like mind Orlando Bloom, but his best movie was Kingdom of Heaven from Ridley Scott.
I own the director's cut of that movie, and I have yet to watch it. I've owned it for probably 3 years now.
Yeah, I bought the Blu-ray director's cut because I've been dying to see the director's cut. I just haven't watched it yet, but I liked the normal cut. Like, I thought it was a really good movie. And he's actually, like, not a little annoying pussy face in it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely worth it. Yeah, but I don't want to interrupt you, so.
No, it's fine. But, yeah, I mean, that movie I actually enjoyed for what it was worth.
For what it was, yeah.
It kind of strayed away from what the other movies had, like, the characters and all that. Like, there were a lot of characters that weren't in this movie. Some of which I liked, some of which I didn't care about, and some of which just weren't in it enough. But I, like I said, it was definitely better than the third movie, which was just fucking horrible.
Yeah, I've only seen one and two, And I liked one better than two. Two just felt overly long. What else have you seen that you want to talk about right now?
A movie that I talked to you about a little while ago was X-Men First Class.
Fuck yeah.
I guess I'll go into a little bit more detail than when we talked about it. I would have enjoyed the movie if it wasn't trying to be more or less kind of a prequel of Bryan Singer's of the established trilogy, I guess I should say. It really would have been a fine movie if it was a standalone movie, if it wasn't trying to correlate with the already established trilogy. Even with that being said, it still had a lot of its flaws, and this is for a comic book purist such as myself, a nerd that knows the whole like first class thing and who involved, and it's like they just said, "Fuck it, we're just gonna do what we want to do." And I understand why a lot of comic book fans were pissed off. Yeah, they showcased, some new mutants and had some cameos by certain mutants. I'm not going to spoil it for those that haven't seen it. Go fuck yourself. That should probably be the only line that would give it away. But it really kind of shows how much of a fucking badass that Magneto is in this movie. He was awesome. And as a standalone flick, I enjoyed it. I thought, the story was pretty decent. The special effects were good at times. Beast, on the other hand, looked like a fucking Muppet. He looked horrible. And whenever he talked, his mouth was like that weird. It was like someone was controlling his mouth with a hand puppet. It was very awkward.
Yeah, actually, the more that I watched that movie, I actually haven't seen it for a little while, but yeah, he kind of does look a bit funny. But just to go off what you said about it trying to be a prequel, I think they actually stated that this was meant to be like not have to do with those previous films, but they just added in like the cameos as a nod to what has come previously.
Yeah,
But
I mean,
I'm just not
if
sure
they were
how well
doing
they
that,
come out.
then because I've heard both sides of the story, and I'm sure some of the listeners, will chime in or have their own thoughts or whatever. But I've heard that it kind of ties into what Bryan Singer started, because obviously he was the producer and everything, so he had a lot of say in it and all that. I've heard that it ties into it, but then I've heard that it doesn't. That it's basically rebooting the whole X-Men universe and this and that. And to me, it just makes no sense. Like, why? I'm kind of confusing my thoughts here. It could be the whiskey. I don't know.
It could be.
It just seems like you can't go one way and then say you're going another way.
I think part of it was that it was originally meant to be X-Men Origins Magneto, and you can definitely feel a lot of that still there. But I think whereas it was still a very kind of Magneto heavy script, I think that some of that sort of prequelness remained, even though they wanted it to be something fresh and different.
Yeah, and some of the characters, like how they portrayed them, was really just kind of weird and zany. I mean, Kevin Bacon was fucking awesome, as he is in everything.
Yeah, Kevin Bacon is the man, and I swear he's a fucking mutant in real life because that man has not aged at all.
No, he is not.
He's a
He is
legend.
not. He is really Sebastian Shaw in real life.
He really is. I know there's a reason why they cast him, and that's exactly why.
But like they show Magneto as already like full of hatred. Like from the comics, I could have swore that he was, yeah, he hated, obviously, the Germans and, you know, that whole thing. But he had kind of a good side to him, and he just, like, he just wanted to kill everything and everyone. Mm-hmm. Professor X was a fucking man whore.
I know.
Like, all he did was get his dick wet the entire movie. That's all he wanted to do.
That's totally, though, like, even though I know it's supposed to be, you know, kind of, you know, rebooting it, but when you, yeah, I kind of, you know, we've had Patrick Stewart as Professor X, but wouldn't you have pictured him as being this kind of man whore in his younger years?
I guess so. I mean, if you could you could pull, like, a Mel Gibson and read women's thoughts, then yeah, absolutely. And yes, I did go with the What Women Want reference.
Yeah, sadly.
But, you know, you got, like, you got Beast, who has a thing for Mystique, and which never happened, and then you got Beast, who develops Cerebro and Magneto's helmet, and it was just a clusterfuck in that aspect, because it was all Magneto that helped all that.
Yeah, I think that, I know that with them doing a sequel, I think they're going to establish more of Magneto doing this stuff. I think that they're actually going to have them still be kind of friends and develop these things properly like that.
Yeah.
Mm. But, like, on like, a really positive side of the movie, I really liked the grand scale action. So that was pretty sweet.
Yeah, it was pretty epic as far as the battles and, you know, the mutants learning to use their powers and use them to battle one another. Because you've got what was before the Brotherhood, all the evil mutants. They already know how to use their powers. And then you've got the upbringing of the X-Men, and they have no fucking idea how to do what they're supposed to do. So, I mean, that was kind of cool that it showed all that, and then when they all came together, you know, it was pretty epic.
I thought they should have used, like, the training montage song for when they were, like, montaging all their training to be, like, use their powers.
It should have been the montage song from Team America. We're gonna have a montage!
Montage! Yeah, that's exactly the song I was thinking of. That would have been awesome. And one of the other things I think we brought up when we talked about this movie before was that the cameos were insane. Like, randomly out of nowhere, like, Michael Ironside shows up.
Yeah.
And stuff like that was kind of cool.
Just because he's fucking Michael Ironside, he could do what he wants.
Yeah, he can fucking do what he wants.
Although I found it funny when Brendan Fur from Roswell was appeared out of nowhere. He was like a glorified extra in that movie. He was just like in the background for like I knew it was him. And I'm like, dude, like you were in Roswell. Why are you like furniture in this movie?
I know, it was weird as shit seeing that guy in it.
He only had one line in the movie and he's like in the background for like most of that scenes in Roswell.
And then you had like James Remar, aka Dexter's dad.
He's only in it for one scene.
Like, he's in there for, like, a couple of times. I was like, okay.
Yeah, it's weird.
And one of the coolest, I think, mutants, was, what?
Mutants.
I don't know why I said it so stupidly. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that director Matthew Vaughn is, like, a big fan of Guy Ritchie. He had Jason Fleming in there as Azazel, and Azazel was pretty badass looking because he looked like a devil kind of thing.
Jason Fleming's been in every Matthew Vaughn movie.
I think so, yeah.
I think there were other references to, like, Guy Ritchie in this movie somewhere. Yeah. I just can't remember.
Fleming was in Kick-Ass, he was in Stardust, and I think he was in Layer Cake as well, from what I remember.
I haven't seen Stardust.
Yeah, well, he had a key role in that as well.
What was he in Kick-Ass?
He was the doorman who gets shot in the face by
Yeah.
It was only like a small role.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah, now that you've said that, yeah.
But he did produce Guy Ritchie's film. So
yeah, so I think, you know, there's, like, that connection there, which is always fun.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Do we want to add anything else to X-Men First Class? I mean, X-Men First Class.
It's awesome. Go see it. And you'll be totally Fassbending afterwards.
Yeah. I had a raging Fassboner. Although, I have to ask Clancy, because he only just saw it recently. Did you think that there was a total, like, you know, weird thing going on between Magneto and Professor X, as in they wanted to, like, totally hump each other in secret?
Yeah, I think they wanted to switch off on giving each other. Yeah, they wanted to fuck each other.
Yeah.
No, Professor X wanted to mind fuck him. So
see you.
I'll pass it over to me. And unfortunately, I'm not going to talk about a movie with Michael Fassbender because I haven't actually seen any recently. I just want to, like, quickly mention a couple before I go into more detail on other ones. One of the biggest surprises that I saw, like, this year, because I thought this movie would suck shit, was the 21 Jump Street movie. It was actually good. It was funny. It was enjoyable. I can't believe I'm actually saying it, but yeah, it was a really just a good comedy. So yeah, if you get a chance, check it out. And also what movie I was going to mention, I can't have a list and I like can't see it. I'm losing my mind. I caught Win-Win, which kind of made a lot of, like, best of last year lists, and I thought it was a really good movie. I mean, if you like sort of comedy dramas, it's a good one, and Paul Giamatti's pretty cool. And for a movie that I felt like bead watching, called Rites of Passage, which is seriously one of the worst pieces of dog shit I've ever seen.
I was going to say, how can a movie starring Wes Bentley, Stephen Dorff, and Christian Bale be that bad?
Christian Slater, fuckhead.
Sorry.
How can you insult Batman so badly?
I'm sorry.
This movie's just terrible. They knew it was terrible. They were, like, hamming it up because they knew it was so bad. But, yeah, avoid at all costs. And, the movie I want to go into a bit more detail is this could be the best movie, the best hockey movie ever. And that would be Goon, like G-O-O-N, Goon.
Hey, Marcy, can I stop you, like, for 1 second?
Yes.
It's funny that you bring this movie up because I am actually on Joe Blow reading the fucking review for Goon.
Who reviewed it on there?
The Arrow.
Oh, of course, because it's like one of the non-horror movies that he's actually liked or watched. but yeah, I know, like, hockey movies aren't like a rare breed. Like, there are a lot of them, and I really like enjoy them. You know, when you put Kurt Russell in one, that's an automatic win. And
ticket sold.
You know, that would be a miracle. And I only saw that one recently, like this year, I think. Well, end of last year or something. And I thought that movie was awesome. But Goon is a different type of hockey movie because it plays to hockey being something where people just beat the shit out of each other every so often. And you bring in Sean William Scott, who I think he is... I can't remember if he plays a bartender who also does the security guard job at the bar. But he basically can beat the shit out of people with just a few hits and stuff. And this gets the attention of... like the local hockey team. So he tries out and he can't skate. He doesn't know how to play hockey. They just get him on the team because he can do damage to the people that they need to cause damage to. That's a really bad description, but I'm just thinking about how cool this movie is. So anyway, he's like the sort of the misfit kind of guy who joins the band of misfits, and he pretty much just beats the shit out of everyone. And they build up like this rivalry for the guy in the hockey who's like the big bad, nobody fucks with him kind of guy, played by Liev Schreiber. So at the end of the film, you're waiting to get like this epic fight between those two characters, and it's fucking awesome. The movie is so entertaining, it's so hilarious. It really is just, yeah, it's so awesome. I mean, it's hard for me to explain because all I want to say is it's fucking awesome. It has so much violence and it's brutal. Like, I don't, not that I want to spoil anything, but Sean William Scott takes a puck to the face and you feel every fucking second of that bitch. It's so brutal. It is a really good movie. Like, it doesn't matter if you like hockey or not, you will love the shit out of this movie. And interesting enough, it was co-written by Baru Shell.
Yep.
Can't pronounce his name, who also co-stars. So it's kind of like that sort of crew. There's also Evan Goldberg, who co-writes like all these kinds of comedies. But yeah, it's fucking awesome. Go see his fucking movie like right now. And real quick, I want to just bring up a movie that I rewatched, which was like a childhood movie that I would watch, called Lady in White, which kind of goes almost with our later theme about ghosts and stuff. I don't know. Have either of you guys seen that movie?
I've seen it.
Nope.
It's from the late 80s. It stars a very young Lucas Haas, and he plays a kid. Like, it takes place in the 60s. He plays a kid, and he gets, like, locked in the school overnight, and stuff happens, and they think that somebody, like, did stuff to him, blah, blah, blah. But while he's locked in the school, he sees a ghost. And because he sees this ghost, he tries to unravel a mystery of a serial killer who's, like, killed a bunch of young girls in the area. It's a really fucking cool movie. Like, it still holds up. And I remember, like, it scared the shit out of me as a kid because I was, like, 5 or 6 when I saw it. It's not scary now as I'm older, but it's still, like, a very atmospheric and just really cool movie. I mean, I would still recommend it for people to see now. And I kind of related to it a bit because the family in the movie are Italian, and it just reminds me of what it was like being an Italian kid because your family's insane, pretty much. They still are, but and I love them, but yeah. there is that element, but yeah, it's a good sort of, like a, you know, a kind of a family film, but it's got sort of adult-y themes in it, but it's like a good sort of ghost, classical kind of ghost story type of thing. That was a really bad description, but yeah. Yeah, Bede, if you want to throw out the last bits of what you've seen.
Alrighty, I definitely want to briefly talk about a film I watched the other day, and that's, I finally got to check it out, is Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Fuck yeah, Gary Oldman.
Hell yeah, because Gary Oldman is the man.
Yeah, I would face fuck him. I mean, what?
Whoa.
moving on.
It's a great film, a really terrific film, and I could definitely, it's definitely has a place in my top 10 of last year, which I'll finally unveil sometime at the end of the month, I promise.
Yeah.
It's a definitely, like, on the surface, you think it's like a simple sort of spy tale.
There's nothing simple about that movie.
Oh, well, not simple in the case, like, it does have a very complex plot. But it has a lot, not just complex in just its plot, but also its characters as well. You know, there are twists and turns in the story that it kind of, it feels like there's a lot, it's a, that it's a very intelligent film that's very multi-layered. And it's a very atmospheric film, and it sort of sucks you in. Like, it sort of takes its time to tell the story. It is a slow burn, and I can understand why some people didn't like it, because it is very, it's the definition complex. of a slow burn
It's film. A complex slow burner film.
Yeah. It's not like, if you're going in and expect like an intense, edge-of-your-seat spy thriller, you're not going to get that, because that's not what the point of the movie's trying to do. It basically really downplays all that elements and just, I guess, makes it into a much more realistic spy movie. But it's impeccably well-made film, beautifully shot, and it's sort of like, it's directed by Tomas Alfredson, who did Let the Right One In, and he brings that sort of style and tone of what he did with that film into this film. And it's terrifically written. The cast are all terrific. It's definitely a film you really sort of have to pay attention to.
Yeah, when I first tried to watch it, I wasn't paying attention, so I ended up like rewatching it just at the theater with my friend who we. You met her when you were here. We went and saw We Need to Beat the Shit Out of Kevin.
Yeah.
And we both, like, highly enjoyed the film. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, I would say it's fun, but it's definitely engrossing, though. But I can understand, like I said, it is... I can understand why some people didn't like it or were disappointed by it, because, like, the trailer kind of really doesn't... kind of makes it out to be like intense kind of film, what I don't think it really was. But it's definitely a terrific film, and I definitely see it as a film that will be much more appreciative when you sort of rewatch it multiple times.
Yeah, you definitely will get more out of it watching it again. Not that I want to like spoil anything for anyone, but did you pick up, like, as I mentioned with the Magneto and Professor X, did you pick up that kind of vibe with a specific two characters? And I think you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, so it wasn't just me.
Actually, there's apparently more to that in the original book. Like, it's only hinted at in the movie, but it's explored more in the book. And there's actually a great article, like, some... that I found on the net that's, like, for people who are kind of perplexed by the film, they can actually go read this article and they're like, oh, I get it now. Like, because it goes, delves into the movie much more than the film does. But, you know, just to sort of clear up some things or go further with some of the ideas and certain aspects of characters and all that. But it's an interesting article, which I'll show you guys afterwards, but I have to find it first. But, yeah, it is a terrific film, and it's definitely worth checking out. Don't go expecting, like, a full-on thriller, but if you're looking just for an interesting, absorbing spy film, then it's definitely worth checking out.
Mm-hmm. And anything else to wrap up what you've seen?
Yep, one movie I did watch. It's a film that, it's speaking of hockey movies, while we were talking about Goon, I did watch a hockey movie the other day. I actually did not have it, never... was able to see this movie as a kid. I only just watched it for the first time the other day, and that's D3, The Mighty Ducks.
God.
Like, I know a lot of people don't like this movie. I thought it was all right, but the one thing that really pissed me off the most about the film is, like, Emilio Estevez is barely in it.
Yeah.
He's, like, his total screen time is, like, 10 minutes. Like, he's in it for the first 5 minutes, and then he's, like, just gone for about an hour or so after that. Then he comes back for, like, five more minutes, and then he's gone again.
Yeah, I don't think it was a very strong movie, because they didn't know what to do with it. So they just put him in, like, a stupid school.
Yeah, pretty much like the Mighty Ducks in a posh school and just watching him get up to shenanigans and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's not that good. I remember seeing this at the movies, and everyone was, like, cheering and stuff. It was kind of funny.
Yeah. But I suppose, like, because I haven't seen the second one for a very, very long time either, but I suppose, like, after the first two movies, I suppose there's nowhere else to go with... there's nowhere else the character of Gordon Bombay can go. Like, you kind of already explored him enough as a character in the first two movies, so might as well move on to, like, you know, the other characters, especially Joshua Jackson's character. Because the movie's basically about him.
Yeah.
And his arc and all that. But yeah, but at the same time, like I said, it's not bad. Like, it's all right. Like, it's entertaining and whatnot. But I think I was just annoyed about, like, Emilio Estevez first billed in the credits and he's, like, barely in it. He's like the Show Kasagi of this movie. Shows up for the last 15 minutes, even though he's, like, the headliner of the movie.
Yeah.
And there are other movies as well, but I can probably leave those for another day as well. But that's enough from... But those are the ones
you wanted to mention. Yeah.
Yep. Yes, mention. So I'm all done.
All right. And all good science. Clancy, have anything else to add for...
To what Bede was just talking about?
You can if you want, but I mean... any other films that you've seen?
You know, I'm just going to fire off just a couple of quick ones. I'll be real short and brief with them. A movie I watched a couple weeks ago, which I love, and, you know, it's a movie that, I don't know, it kind of gets mixed reviews. Collateral with Tom Cruise and J.D. Fox.
Fucking love that movie.
That movie is awesome.
It is fucking awesome.
Yeah. Well, and it's weird. Like, I get stuff from people saying that the movie is... It's like Quentin Tarantino, where, you know, it's just a lot of dialogue and this and that. Honestly, I mean, what the fuck else can you have where you have a cab driver and a hitman going place to place to place to kill people for this big whole trial thing or for this big court thing? I fucking love the movie. I think it's great. And Tom Cruise is... like the epitome of badass in that movie. Like the perfect hitman. Yeah. So I watched that movie probably about 2 weeks ago. Again, just put it in because I wanted to watch it.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Another movie I want to talk about real quick, which is kind of under the radar, that a lot of people, I found a lot of people love it. You know, to bring back someone else that we were talking about earlier, it's got the great Christopher Walken in it. It's got one of the greatest speeches ever about tearing the shit out of everything in sight, and specifically, I'm talking about Pool Hall Junkies.
Oh yes,
fucking love that movie. That movie, it's got Lex Luthor, it's got. Chaz Palminteri, got Christopher Walken. Fucking love that movie. And it's got one of the guys from Surf Ninjas. What is his name? Very under the radar. I wish that movie would have gotten a wider release. I mean, it would have been more successful and probably would have garnered a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that movie's just fucking great. It's a cult hit in my eyes.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty solid movie.
Yeah, and for Mars Callahan, the main star and director and producer and writer, you know, I think he did a pretty good debut effort, like, all around. And it's funny because I think it was about 2 months ago I was... watching, we had Sports Center on at work, and then the World Series of Poker came on, and Mars Callahan was on there, and he fucking won like this big poker tournament. I'm like, wait, isn't that the guy from Pool Hall Junkies? Yeah, it fucking won. I don't know how many, you know, few million dollars or whatever it was in this poker tournament. I'm like, wow, that's awesome. But a couple little tidbits about that movie. Mars Callahan is actually a professional pool player, hence why he made a fucking pool movie. And that trick shot that Christopher Walken made, where he did the two balls next to each other, shot one, banked it. That was on the very first take. So, yeah, a little bit of trivia there for you. Kind of quiet. Is everyone still there?
Sorry, I was just writing a quick email, but yeah, I actually haven't seen that movie for maybe a couple of years, so I'd need to revisit it, but yeah, it's a fun movie.
Yeah, I love that movie. And another movie, this is going to be my third one, like I said, I'm firing them off real quick for time's sake.
Yeah.
It's a guilty pleasure. A lot of people hated it. I, for some goddamn reason, actually kind of enjoy it because it's a movie I could turn my brain off to, is Punisher Warzone.
Which I still haven't seen.
Happened to watch that, like, I don't know, maybe again a couple weeks ago or something like that.
Mm.
Popped in the Blu-ray. It's by no means a good movie, like, at all. It's horribly shot, terribly acted. Ray Stevenson is actually a pretty decent Punisher, but they, like, that aside, everything about the movie is shit. Absolute garbage. But it's got relentless action. The first kill, which happens in, I think, 4 minutes of the movie starting, is a fucking dude gets his head completely sliced off by a Bowie knife by the Punisher.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think you showed me the video kill, of something like that. Yeah, I still haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's definitely cheese. It's from Mundo cheese all the way through, but yeah, it's a guilty pleasure. What can I say?
Yeah, I'm sure I'll get to it at some stage.
Pete, have you seen that?
I have seen it, and it's pretty over the top. Although I still reckon it's okay, like it's average, but you know it's pretty over the top, in a good way. Although I think the villains in that movie are on the verge of Joel Schumacher, Batman and Robin territory, but that's just me.
They are very hokey, very very hokey.
But I do have to agree with an article on Joe Blow. Why is it so friggin' hard to make Punisher into a good movie? You think he'd be the easiest character to make into a movie?
Right.
Just have him go around and kill people, and that's basically it. I don't know. It's weird.
He's got to be a good guy. No, he doesn't give a fuck. He'll kill anyone. If they're doing something bad, he just doesn't care. He will kill you.
That's right.
Yeah. But of the three punk movies, I think that was probably the strongest for the character himself. Just in the aspect that, like, in the way he killed people. Like, there was no... He just didn't give a fuck. And it was cheesy. It was hokey. Like you said, the villains were very much comic book villains.
Yep.
Very unbelievable. Like, Jigsaw gets his face mangled in a, what was it, like a bottling place? Like a bottle crushing place or something like that? Or
really?
I think so, yeah.
Now I have to say this just for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a violent movie. It is a very fucking violent movie. People's faces getting just blown off by shotguns and heads and limbs
There's one scene in particular that I absolutely found hilarious is when some guy's doing parkour and in the middle of the air a bazooka blows him apart.
Yes. That is the level of cheese that we're talking about. Yes, parkour. And a dude jumps between two buildings, and the Punisher manages to shoot him mid-air with a fucking rocket launcher.
Awesome. Yes, I'll get around to this movie one day, I think.
It's so bad. Yep. Well, that's all I got to say about that.
Okay, Forrest. I guess I'll just wrap things off pretty quickly. I'll just mention probably just maybe a couple. I watched a movie a little while ago called The River Man, and I basically wanted to see it because it was like it was a based off of a real life sort of serial killing thing, but the hook was that it starred Bruce Greenwood, who I absolutely love, and Cary Elwes, who played Jeffrey Dahmer. Not Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy. I get them confused, even though they're, like, completely different killers. It was a really interesting and well-made film, and they were both really good in it. Actually, Cary Elwes was scary because he really sort of became Ted Bundy. And they have, like, this kind of, you know, how Bruce Greenwood is, like, a detective type, and he speaks to Ted Bundy about ways that they could try and track down the Green River Killer. So it's kind of like that Silence of the Lambs thing, except this actually happened, and this happened way before, I think, the guy wrote the original stuff with that, I think. I could be wrong, but yeah. I think it was like a made-for-TV movie, but for something like that, it was actually really good. And if you like sort of your real-life serial killer type of movies, it's a really good one. And the last movie I just wanted to talk about quickly, which, funnily enough, also has Cary Elwes in it, is Shadow of the Vampire Witch. I finally got to rewatch, and the movie still is fucking awesome. And
damn straight.
Willem Dafoe is one scary bastard as Max Schreck, which, if people haven't seen it, it takes like an urban legend of what really happened when they made Nosferatu, the 1922 German silent film, and they make out that in this movie that Max Schreck was really a vampire, and Willem Dafoe completely disappears as Max Schreck, and the makeup is so amazing. It looks so good, and John Malkovich is a crazy bastard, and yeah, it's just a really fucking fantastic film, an interesting take on something that really happened, and pretty much those Germans and filmmakers were quite crazy back in the early days. It's a very entertaining and kind of spooky film. So, yeah, again, if you haven't seen it or you haven't seen it for a while, it's worth checking out.
I agree.
And, yeah, I think those are just the main ones I wanted to talk about. I think I've already talked about some other ones at length on other shows and stuff. So, yeah. Now that that has wrapped up, we are going to talk about our other subject. And, Bede, do you want to introduce this one?
Indeed. We're going to be talking about a subject that is very spooky because we're not... it's the spooktacular section of the show. And we're actually not actually talking about movies. We're actually talking about...
Talking.
Sorry. Shut up, Marty. Anyway, talking about our real-life ghostly stuff.
Our real life ghostly stuff. Ghost, he jizzed all over me with his slime the other day. I mean, what?
Well,
not really.
That's called ectoplasm. That's, he had an
he slimed me.
He had an ectogasm.
An ectogasm.
But yeah, we're talking about ghosts and our real life encounters with them.
Yes, and maybe Sean can kick it off because he does some pretty cool stuff when he has the time, I guess.
Oh, why, thank you, Marcy.
You're killing me, Smalls, with these impersonations.
I don't know why I I did that voice. I think I need more whiskey.
Oh, not enough. Well, I mean, or too much.
You shut your mouth. All right, anyway, I'm
done. You're killing me, Smalls.
So, I guess a little background for those that don't know. For the past, probably 8 years, seven, 8 years, yeah, about that, I've been doing ghost hunting, paranormal investigating.
Wow.
Long time. And basically how I got involved in it is a buddy of mine who does photography, not professionally, but just enjoys going out taking pictures. He's got this big expensive camera, this and that. Wanted to go to a cemetery back when I lived in Illinois near Chicago. Wanted to go to a cemetery and take some pictures. And asked if I wanted to come along. I'm like, yeah, I got nothing going on. I'll just bring a camera, which is for shits and giggles. Not really planning on taking pictures of ghosts or anything like that. Just take pictures, whatever. And took a picture, saw something interesting in it, and thought nothing of it. You know, at the time, until I zoomed in on it and saw what appeared to be figures, like actual, what looked like people in there. So, showed it to a bunch of people. They saw what I saw, and were very, very interested in what I had captured. Wow. And the picture is of, initially I thought it was two spirits, and there are actually quite a few more in the picture. Probably about, I think, four or five. Very, very interesting picture. It's my kind of relic and upbringing into the ghost hunting world. And ever since then, I've gone back to that cemetery a few times, had a buddy get scratched, get the Mark of the Trinity, which is basically a demonic spirit, more or less either trying to possess you or warn you that it's a dangerous place and they don't want you around. And the Mark of the Trinity is basically three, looks like claw marks or scratch marks on your skin. And he got this on his chest and was very, very sick for 6 days.
Really?
Thereafter. Yeah. Since then, I've gotten very, very much involved in it, was part of a few other groups, got some very interesting pictures, EVPs, which are electronic voice phenomena. So basically, we would just bring a voice recorder with on investigations and get audio recordings of voices that either we can or cannot hear because spirits operate allegedly on a different frequency than what the normal ears can hear. So I've got tons and tons of voices, some of which are not the nicest voices, some of which are telling me to go away, or, you know, I'm going to hurt you, or something like that. You know, some kind of spooky stuff. You know, I've been physically attacked myself, in that I've been choked and felt fingers literally going through my throat, like cold, cold fingers, which is really, really fucking creepy, mind you.
That sounds pretty fucking creepy.
Yep. At a place that me and a buddy of mine investigated in Cripple Creek, Colorado, a couple of years back. It was an old hotel and casino, and we stayed up on the third floor. There were three floors to this. The casino was on the main floor, and then there were rooms down there, rooms in the second floor, and rooms in the third floor. Well, there were two rooms in particular on the third floor that were haunted, and me and my buddy got each of the rooms. They only charged like $40. It was super cheap. And when we got up there, immediately we started feeling things and hearing things. And there were a couple different things where there was a guy that haunts up there, a little girl that haunts up there. I think there was also a woman. The little girl allegedly goes throughout this hallway. And this building is probably 130 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So when we got up to our rooms, when I got walked into my room, I saw out of the corner of my eye the dresser, which was right next to the door, one of the drawers on the dresser open right next to me.
I'm getting, like, all scared listening to this. I'm not kidding.
Hey, you wanted to do this, woman.
I know, and it's freaking me the fuck out, because I haven't heard these stories from you before.
Yeah.
I better get the powder for you, Marty.
I'm going to fucking attack you with that fucking powder, little scared bitch.
But there was, after the drawer incident, both me and my buddy, while we were doing an investigation in one of the rooms, we heard someone walking, like pacing back and forth outside the door, as if there was someone walking out there. And we thought it was maybe another guest just kind of wandering around, or maybe one of the hotel workers. And then we heard it stop right in front of the door. Like, okay, so we open the door and there's no one there.
Mm.
And like I said, it's a 130-year-old building, so you could hear everything on that floor. And we were the only people staying in the hotel outside of one person who was on the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
So there is absolutely no way, we even tested it out. Even on the second floor, you can't really hear anything, and especially on the first floor, you can't hear anyone walking around. So, you know, we kind of debunked that right away. But woke up in the middle of the night, heard someone, or felt someone standing over me. I got probably 20 minutes of sleep that night because there was just a lot of shit going on.
Yeah, I wouldn't be sleeping.
When I fell asleep, I woke up and I felt a very heavy presence.
Mm.
And I had my audio recorder right next to the bed. And I immediately turned it on. Like, I didn't talk, I didn't do anything. I immediately turned it on, asked a question. I think it was like, who's here or something like that. I've got the audio, so I could send it to you both. I asked, like, who's here? And then you hear a whisper say, it's not here. And unknowingly, I kind of went, like as if, like the, you know, like as if I didn't hear it properly. But at the time, I don't recall ever hearing that voice, but I just so happened to capture it. And my reaction was as if I heard it, but not in the way that I should have. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, yeah, I've got tons and tons more ghost stories, but I'll let you guys go on to what you want to talk about.
But well, before we do you have any pictures that we could show our listeners, like to put up with the podcast that they can look at?
Yeah, I absolutely do.
Well, you have to send them to me.
I'm not doing it. You just, nope. Okay, I'll do it.
No, I'll just imagine that they're there.
Yeah. Just draw a ghost.
I'll draw a ghost.
Make sure that Clancy took.
I'll just draw like a stick
figure. Friendly guys on there.
Yeah. That's it. B, do you want to go or do you want me to go?
Oh, you can go first, Marty.
All right. Okay, well, I don't do ghost hunting like Clancy does. I don't consciously go out looking for ghosts. I mean, I've kind of wanted to go and do what Clancy does, but I just don't have a great understanding of too many places around here that would be good to go to. I think there's actually a lot more back in Adelaide, where my hometown, where you can actually do that. So, yeah, so I don't really, you know, do that, but, yeah, I mean, in Melbourne, I wouldn't have any idea, like, where to go, so there is that. So yeah, going back, speaking about Adelaide where I'm from, and any people in Australia, don't mock me for it. Adelaideans are cool. Yeah, so back in Adelaide, when I still lived there, like as a kid, I was really interested in like paranormal stuff, ghosts and all sorts of weird things. I used to like read about sort of urban legends and real, was meant to be real ghost stories and things like that. And I was also very much into like aliens and UFOs and all that kind of stuff. So I used to watch a lot of shows about it. Used to read magazines and books and everything. But back in my old house, and this was something that it wasn't just me that experienced. Everyone had experienced it. And we found that out just casually saying so. And none of us had any idea that the other person had actually experienced it. But when we would sit down in the main area, because our house was pretty open, we kind of had, like, the dining area and, like, the lounge or family room was in all one big space. And as you'd be sitting down, you know, I would think that, like, my mum or dad or someone was, like, walking around behind me. As I'd be facing towards the TV, I'd be thinking that they'd be walking behind me. I'd hear, you know, someone walk from one room to another. And, you know, I didn't pay much attention to it until one day I realized no one was home. And someone was walking around behind me. And I'd look and there'd be no one there. And this would happen a lot. And sometimes I'd be conscious of it. Sometimes I wouldn't be. But there were times where I'd hear someone and I'd think it was my mum. And I'd turn around and go, hey, mum, get me something. And then I'd look and she hadn't moved. And this kind of went on, like for me and other people that had come to the house had kind of had that feeling like someone's there when no one's actually there. And when I'd sit on our seats, and our seats back then, when you sat down, they used to make a noise. Mm. I'd be sitting down and I'd hear somebody walk from a room and sit down next to me, and I could hear like them sitting on the seat, but no one was there. And this would happen a bit when I was like by myself, or if someone else was home, but they were in the other room. And the way that I found out that it wasn't just me, was my cousin was over one day. We'd spend the day watching movies, and I went to, like, have a quick nap. So I went to my room, and I was dozing off, and then I heard her calling me. It's like, oh. And then she was, like, panicking, and I'm like, I kind of woke up, and I'm like, what's going on? And she's like, I thought you got out of bed and came and lied down next to me, and she saw that I wasn't actually there. I was still in my bed, and she was freaking out about it. And yeah, this kind of stuff just kept happening a lot, and it was really weird. And it got worse when we got floorboards, because you could hear the sounds a lot more. But once we changed seats, you couldn't really hear anyone sitting down, but there was still that weird kind of feeling about it. That's the main one. I don't know if Bede wants to talk about some of his. I don't know if my story sounds scary or if I just sound like I'm insane.
Didn't you have, like, another experience, like, a few months ago, Marcy?
I did, but I was going to save that.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll leave that.
This was my main one that kind of, you know, was spooky, but I don't know, does that sound scary or does that sound like I'm insane?
No, it sounds pretty creepy. But, my experiences, my house, where I used to live before I moved in my flat, it was haunted.
Well, by I friendly swear that ghost, house was haunted, but anyway.
By a friendly ghost, because he didn't like, it wasn't like, it, because he wasn't like, you know, a poltergeist or anything like that. We actually gave him a name, we called him Henry.
I used to call everything Henry. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, well, we called him Henry because my brother one time reckons he might have he saw him in the corner of a room, like out of the corner of his eye, and he knew it was a man, so that's why we called him Henry. Like, I had this one. Well, the thing was, though, it's not like you actually did see him all the time, but he was one of those ghosts, and what we like to call a mimic ghost. He liked to mimic people's voices. Like you'd be in the house somewhere and you hear somebody talking or calling out somewhere and you go look around to find out where they were and they're not there. This one time I was like up in the bathroom just washing my face and all that, and I thought I heard my auntie call out. And I thought, because sometimes she'll come down and visit and all that, or drop off washing and all that type of stuff. So I assumed it was her. So I went to have a look to say hello and looked around, and
no one was there.
No one was there.
Yeah, and, I think our ghosts were a bit connected like that.
Yeah.
Except I don't recall hearing anything. Maybe kind of like a voice sort of thing, but I don't really remember. I distinctly remember the walking and kind of hearing someone there. Or feeling someone there when there wasn't anyone there.
Yeah, well, I didn't really have most ghostly experiences like that. Not that many, but other members of my family did. Like, again, like my brother would be sitting down watching TV. And we used to have this, like, you know, gas fireplace. And sometimes, like he would look over in the, and it would reflect the kitchen in the back behind him. And sometimes he'd look and he could see somebody standing up there and he'd look up and they're gone. And all that. And sometimes our sensor light in our hallways would go off on their own and without anyone like actually walking up and down them or anything like that. And but another weird experience I had one night, I was trying to get to sleep one night and I thought I heard somebody call out my name, and it was outside my window. And it was not like right up against my window. It was more like it was like pretty far back, like somebody was like maybe a couple of feet from my window calling out to me. So when it got up, had a look, and there was no one there, I assume, because it might have been my brothers or something. But and then I went back to bed, and then I think not long again after that, I heard it again. Freaked me the fuck out, and ever since then, I've been wearing earplugs going to bed. But another time, and this is, I think I might have told you this a while ago, Marcy, one time I was at my home, at my place, and I was walking down this hallway, and at the end of the hallway there was like this sort of little cabinet that had a mirror and all that at the, and you could, again, you could see everything that was behind you when you walked up to the hallway. And one time I just sort of looked up, glanced up at the hallway, and I thought I saw somebody walk into the kitchen.
And no one was there.
Yeah, like it wasn't like I didn't see a full person, but you could. But I saw somebody, you know, just somebody just entering the kitchen. Like I saw the back of them or something. And I knew I saw something because as soon as I saw it, I like freaked out. I walked back down to the kitchen and there was no one there. And I told my brother about it, and he basically says, "Oh, if Henry tried like freaks you out or something, just tell him to stop it, and he will." So one time,
Henry, stop it!
Stop it! I'll bitch slap you. But one time I was sort of like talking the hallway because that's where he mostly hangs out. And I said to him, "Oh, Henry, stop freaking me out. You know, I don't like it. So can you please stop it?" And it was weird. As soon as I said that, I looked down because the whole light, because our tiles on the floor like were reflective. And as soon as I said that, I looked down and I noticed a shadow just slightly move across the tiles very quickly.
Yeah.
So I think he was just standing right there while I was
talking. That's scary.
Yeah, and it was weird though, because I knew that our section of where my brothers and I used to live in the house, there must have been somewhere, because when I had my dog, when we bring him into the, like he was an outside dog, but sometimes he'd come into the house, like for some bizarre reason. He didn't want to go. He'd go out the front, knock on our, scratch at our door wanting to come in, and we had to lead him out the back. He'd be fine anywhere else in the house, but any time I tried to take him up to the our section of the house, he would freeze. He would not move up there. He tried to budge him to go up there, but he wouldn't go. And as soon as I let go of his collar, he'd be running off in the opposite direction.
Yeah. Because my dog was kind of like, when he would just bark at things that, you know, when nothing was there, or he could sort of hear something when, you know, you heard that noise, and it felt like he was hearing it too, because he'd kind of look around like he was trying to see if someone was there kind of thing. But actually, when you mentioned, like, the sensor light thing, That reminded me, like, our old house had, like, an alarm system, and you know how you've got the sensors, like, when your alarm's on, if something's picked up on the sensor, it goes off?
Yeah.
When, like, the alarm is off, when it picks something up, the red light would still go on, and I remember looking at it when I heard those noises, and it actually, like, the red light went on, and that scared the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Mm-hmm.
One time I had an experience when I was asleep one night, and I don't know whether this was just me. I was sort of half awake, half asleep, so you can kind of imagine whether I just imagined this or not. I sort of like was waking up during the middle of the night. I was sort of like, again, half awake, half asleep, and I thought I saw somebody look down at me, like I saw somebody's face staring down at me.
It was Micah.
It probably was. Like, I only saw him for, like, a split second, but I knew... But you know when you kind of... You know you've seen something when you just react to it, you know? And it just freaked me out. And I've had other experiences when I wake up and I can't breathe. Like, I felt like I'm being pushed... Like, my throat's being pushed down. Like, it's just, like, a heavy weight is on me and I can't breathe and all that. I've had experience, but it's
I think when it's sort of like when you feel pressure, and you sort of had trouble breathing, kind of thing,
And also like not just at my place, because when I went over to my Kentucky trip like a couple of years ago, Marcy, when my cousin and I, when we were in Edinburgh, we decided to go tour the Edinburgh Underground vaults. And that place was really creepy because the entire time I was down there, you always felt like you were being watched. Well, I felt like I was being watched. And like you go in one room and the temperature's fine and all that, you walk up these steps and all of a sudden you'd be freezing. And these are like just two steps. You walk up these two steps and just in the next room you'd be absolutely freezing, and it was just really creepy down there. And like I've had other experiences. Like another time, we have a museum here in town that's supposed to be haunted. And I went down there to go see what it's like. So I went around, took photos and all that. Some photos didn't pick up anything, but other times, like in some, like I'd be in this one section of the building where it's completely dark. I'd take a picture, and then when I got the photos back, I'd see white lights and all that in the picture.
Okay.
A lot of people would tell me, oh, maybe it's just, you know, things being reflected, you know, back in the camera and all that, but it's weird because there was nothing down there that could have done that. And it was like white mist and all that, and it was really creepy.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's like, those are my ghostly experiences. I haven't seen, like, a full-on ghost. Like, I've seen an actual person, but you kind of feel their presence when they're around, though. You know, like you say, Marcy, you kind of feel like you know that somebody's there, and then but they're not. You just feel that presence. And it's weird, and it creeps you out.
Sean, do you have any more that you want to share with us?
What's that?
Do you have any more that you want to share with us?
Well, the most recent, probably ghost hunting adventures that I've gone on, is with a buddy of mine, Kevin. You know Kevin.
Marcy.
I don't know why I said it in an Aussie accent. I don't know. Maybe.
A very weird accent.
Or whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm American.
America. Fuck yeah.
It's the fair jibs.
Trick or jibs. Now you're going to get me started.
Sorry.
Trick or jibs. All right. Shut up, Marcy.
We're the most ADD prone, like, people on a podcast.
Yeah, pretty much.
But anyway, we found this place actually right by where I live. It's this old farmhouse, and we just happened to find it. You know, we looked up haunted places in Fort Collins, Colorado, and this place popped up. It's an old abandoned farmhouse, and no one really knows the actual story of what happened. It's all just kind of a legend. Mm. So who's to say what happened? There's no police reports or anything. So who's to say that all this is true? But the story goes that it was an old goat farm. And it was a guy, his wife, I want to say two kids, and he had a couple of farmhands. And this is back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. So kind of turn of the century type mm-hmm. thing. And the guy suspected one of his farmhands of stealing goats from him. Or stealing something.
Goat sounds about right.
Yeah, so what does the farmer do? He decides he's going to hang the farmhand from the tree in the front yard.
Was he black?
I don't know. Honestly.
I just wonder because farmhands, some, you know, I know that back right. then you like, still had people, you know, black people doing those jobs and... Yeah, I kind of sound racist. I don't know.
No, it's a valid question. I don't know, honestly.
Mm. But anyway, continue. I've been trying to
find as much information as I can on the people that live there and what happened.
Mm.
It's just you just hit a brick wall every time.
Mm-hmm.
So allegedly, he hung one of the farmhands from the tree just to basically set an example.
Okay.
And then suspected the other farmhands of also doing the same. So he allegedly hung all of his farmhands from this tree.
Mm.
Then, after that, and it almost sounds like an Amityville Horror type thing, the guy apparently just kind of lost it. And while his wife is taking a bath in the bathtub, he shot her with a shotgun, killed her. Killed his kids and then hung himself from the same tree that he hung his farmhands from.
Oh, okay.
So with that, we of course were interested in going there. So Kevin and I went in there. We've been there a few times. The first time we went there, we saw the tree, and the tree is very fucking creepy. It's definitely a hanging tree, that's for sure.
Yeah.
The house itself is actually fenced off, but there is a big gaping hole in the fence.
And you can get through it?
That you can get through, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When we approached the house, we were going to go inside, because all the windows are pretty much busted out.
Mm.
The house is still standing. It's very, very, very old. It caught fire X amount of years ago, but it still stands.
Okay.
I was getting ready to climb into the house, and something just did not jive with me. I couldn't go inside the house, so I didn't. And Kevin, my buddy, was saying, you know, let's go in there. And I said, there's something telling me not to go in there right now. I can't do it.
Wow.
So just decided not to go in there. Did probably an additional 30 to 45 minute investigation and then left. Got a few voices on our recorders. Got a couple of weird things and pictures. And a couple weeks later, we decided we were going to go back. Well, this time I wanted to go into the house and Kevin didn't. Mm-hmm. Someone was telling me not to go in. They said, well, something's trying to tell me to come into the house. So I climbed through the window. I look down and to my right, and there's the fucking bathtub. The wife was allegedly shot and killed. So I was immediately uncomfortable just knowing, knowing what may have happened there.
Yeah.
So pressed on. As soon as I got into the house, just stepped foot in there. I was in there for a couple minutes. I felt totally at ease, totally calm. Like as if someone was watching me, but not in a threatening manner. Almost like as if someone was watching over me. So I told Kevin, I was like, come inside. It's totally cool. he came inside, he felt the same thing. Like, initially, he did not want to go inside the house, and once he got in, he felt completely calm and everything. We took some EVPs. We had an audio camera with us, or a video camera with us, and got footsteps inside the house when we weren't even in the house. So we got all these banging and a couple of voices from inside the house when we weren't even in there. We stood outside the house and remained completely quiet for about 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes, and got a whole bunch of weird stuff from inside the house. We've been back there a few times. You know, we got on an EVP as we were leaving the house one time, a voice saying, don't go. Another one saying, please come back to us. So, I mean, it's kind of a disturbed place, but not in the way that you would think, like not like demonic disturbed. And I know you kind of want to wrap this up, and one other quick investigation came to mind. Speaking of Deadwood from earlier, I actually went to Deadwood.
I know, because you were so angry when you were there.
I was. I was Al Strange and angry.
You were. That's my favorite picture of you of all time, is you angry with his suit. You're standing next to his suit, because that picture just, I decided to make a very disturbing picture using your face from that photo. Obviously, I love it lots.
But to make this real quick, we actually investigated the actual number 10 saloon where Wild Bill Hickok was assassinated. And that was a real pleasure. It was a couple of the owners literally locked us in. This is before Ghost Adventures, before we even watched it, before we knew it existed. They let us stay in there by ourselves, just me and my buddy Kevin. No one else in the building, just us, locked inside. And the only way out was through the back door, which self-locks from the outside. We got so many good things there. We got on a video recorder, again, it was a three-story building. The basement is the original number 10 saloon, and with erosion and all that, the basement kind of filtered down a little bit. The main level is now what is the main bar of the number 10, and then upstairs used to be a brothel, because that's all Deadwood was gambling, killing, and brothels.
That's all the West was back then, though.
Pretty much.
Was it haunted by the ghost of prostitutes that lived there?
Yeah. Most needy fucking ghosts ever. They still want to get slammed even in the afterlife.
Yeah. That's the curse of being a prostitute.
Yeah. But they're on our video recorder, we got probably some of the most intriguing and best evidence on video, and it's of us leaving an audio recorder and then the video recorder on a table, allegedly where Wild Bill Hickok was assassinated, in that general area. And me and Kevin went up two floors where you can hear us on the floor above, but then we leave through the outside. We watch the door open a little bit so we can get back in. We leave and then go up to the third floor. And that's where we're at. And you can't hear a damn thing. It is completely quiet in the basement. And at one point you hear someone cough, as if it's a smoker's cough, like a cigar smoker's cough, or something, like a real heavy, heavy cough. It goes on for a couple seconds. And then you hear someone walking around in what sounds like cowboy boots. And it's almost like a pacing that you can hear. And you could definitely hear when Kevin and I come back from being upstairs. You could hear us leave, you could hear us come back. and the stuff that we caught is very, very evident.
I think you showed us some photos. I think that when you went there, and then I think you came back, I don't know if it was just with me or if Bede was there or we talked about it, but I think it was that which actually got us discussing this, and we thought, or at least later Bede had come up with the idea that we should do this podcast or talk about this subject.
Yeah.
Because I remember you showed me some pretty creepy photos. It was like things that were reflecting that shouldn't have been reflecting in things.
Yeah, in fact, in that basement, which you should probably put up on your website.
You'll have to send me some pictures.
Yeah, it's in that basement where I got a picture, and then you look, there's a mirror at the far end of the picture. And then in that mirror, you see a shadow of what looks like a cowboy wearing a cowboy hat. And it's a shadow on the wall. Mm. And the way the picture's taken and the way the lights are, it is impossible to cast a shadow on the wall because of the way that the lights are positioned in that basement. And in the picture, it looks like, I mean, you can see shoulders, you can see the head, you can see the hat. And it looks spinning image of a cowboy. So
creepy.
Yeah, I'll definitely send you some pictures to put on the for the podcast.
I'll have to put some up. I don't have any pictures, but yeah, as Bede hinted at earlier, I had a really creepy recent experience. I was in my room. I was just relaxing, was completely sober, I promise. And I saw what looked like a kind of white mist kind of move a little bit around the room. And then it kind of faded. But then a bunch of stuff just suddenly fell off my shelf. And these things were not like in a position where they could just fall off. They were kind of further back where, you know, nothing falls off my shelf, but these things like fell off. It scared the shit out of me. And I almost felt like I was going to have a heart attack because I saw this thing, and the next thing I know, this thing's falling off my shelf. And since then, I haven't really felt or had anything, but I was really fucking pissed. And I think I had pain tablets as well without thinking. And I thought I saw something on my wall, but I think that was me just being drunk and seeing things. But no, the mist and things falling off my wall, I was completely sober, and it was fucking creepy. Ugh. Very, very creepy. I guess we'll wrap up our podcast, and we'll definitely have to do a follow-up at some stage with our ghostly encounters or future ghostly encounters.
Oh, yeah, Marcy, we forgot to, before we finish up, we should tell the story about the time you and me got really scared.
Yeah, I think we did a podcast with, I think, AJ and Sam, it might have been.
Yep.
Because we were up really late, and Bede and I couldn't sleep, so we kept talking after we'd recorded this podcast, and we started talking about these ghostly encounters, and we started talking about aliens and UFOs, and then we brought up a show that used to be on Aussie TV back in the early 90s called The Extraordinary. And that show used to scare the shit out of everyone because the host would, like, sit down in this gloomy area with, like, glowing eyes. And they used to make fun of it on Full Frontal. Like, they exaggerated it. But
yeah.
They'd, recount, like, kind of spooky, scary, supernatural paranormal stories, and we were talking about the show, like, we hadn't seen it since we were, you know, when it was on TV. So when you look at it now on YouTube, it's kind of hilarious that it made us scared, but we were scaring the shit out of each other, and we stayed up talking till about 4 a.m. because we didn't want to stop talking because we were too scared. I went to bed like terrified. I was thinking aliens were gonna come through the window and anal probe me and stuff. It was scary. scared the shit out of each other by that.
I know. And I was like, you know, begging God because it was like bloody 4 o'clock in the morning, thinking 3 more hours until sunlight.
Yeah. And the strange thing is, the strange thing is, most of my like ghostly encounters have been during the day.
Mine too, which is weird.
So yeah, nighttime is just scary. But yeah, that's a wrap from us. We'll definitely be back soon. This marks episode, I think, 92. Yep. We're only a few more away from 100. I'm not sure what we're going to do. I might do a live strip show. I don't know yet. Bede might also do a live strip show and everybody will vomit because no one wants to see that. Nah, it's not a podcast if I don't insult Bede in some really bad way.
I won't vomit.
Somebody's a bit excited. But anyway, thanks to Fancy Clancy, or aka Sean, for sharing his ghost hunting adventures and for talking about some movies. And thanks to Bede for being a very good co-host. And thanks to me for being pretty fucking awesome, I gotta say.
Indeed.
Yeah, you can find Super Podcast at supermarcy.com or on iTunes or on Facebook or in any of those crazy places. You can follow my Twitter account at twitter.com/supermarcy and, you can follow Bede at, twitter.com/BedeJamine. You can find him on Twitter and hurl abuse at him.
Yeah. And also you can find me reading Goodnight Moon in my best Christopher Walken impression.
Goodnight.
Goodnight Moon.
Goodnight Moon. I can't do it.
Come back here, children. Scorch close out.
If you go in front of a mirror and you scream Bloody Sean 5 times, he'll appear and kill you. That's how you can find him. You can summon him by doing that.
So if I do that to myself, is it considered suicide?
It is, yeah. That's exactly what will happen.
All right, I'll be right back. Or will I?
Or will you? But yeah, thanks guys, and yeah, thanks to our listeners, and we'll be back soon, I guess. So catch you later.
See you, everyone.
Fuck yeah.